Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to hour two of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It's the noon hour, and that means, ladies and gentlemen, it is lunchtime. The lunch hour of Adam Carriker. The Adam Carriker Show here on The Ticket is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue. Now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker, and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. And just a reminder, we will have one monthly remote at Mulberry Barbecue South location. And actually, the last show I did was our on-location show at Mulberry's. Delicious. Ribs, brisket, like just delicious food. Go check it out, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting a lot of good texts today because a lot of the points that I have down here to make, from why we could be Indiana to why is it ridiculous to talk about Kool-Aid and the CFP, to why I think maybe it's not ridiculous. Is it realistic? What do we think is going to happen? A little bit of projection and conjecture here. We're getting great texts because a lot of the texts literally match the notes I have of things coming up. So instead of going down my notes, why don't you read some of these texts and then I'll look at my notes and give some of the responses, because a lot of the people listening and texting in are spot on today.
Yeah, we got a few good texts here. Gus Mohawk says, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, like Bill Bush always says. Mass kicks ass, and we got a lot of it on the O-line this year. Also, the biggest thing being that Dana Holgorsen is on staff. I think Dana will be what Chip Kelly was to OSU last year.
So we did look up the average size of our offensive linemen. All right, starting projected offensive linemen. We don't know for sure who they're going to be, but the projected offensive linemen, the starters, 6'5", 321 pounds. That's pretty good size right there. Because you said 300 pounds earlier, like that was big.
Yeah.
We're talking another 21 pounds on average across the board. So, all right, offense puts butts in the seats, defense wins games. The trenches, I always say, wins championships. Let's win games first. But you want to beat teams that are more talented? Do it in the trenches. You want to beat teams you should beat? Start up front in the trenches, okay? The Dana Holgorsen part of that, I loved. Two of the things that give me significantly more confidence this year, because we've heard, I've heard the cupboard is bare here in the past 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I was like, wait, did you do research? Did you look at the talent composite rankings? Did you look at the recruiting rankings and how we compare to other Big Ten teams? So that never tracked for me. But we've heard the more talent than most of our opponents statement in the past, including from yours truly. We've heard the schedule component in the past, including just a year ago. Two of the things that give me more confidence about this year's team specifically: Dana Holgorsen and Mike Eckler. Now, every time I say those two guys and I don't say John Butler, inevitably somebody thinks I'm taking a shot at John Butler. I'm not taking a shot at John Butler. John Butler's resume is lengthy and it is very impressive. All right. And from having the number one pass defense in the NFL for, what was it, 5 straight years with the Bills. So people might look back to last year's secondary and be like, it was not the strength of our defense. He has a resume that says he can coach guys in the secondary. Okay. So it's not a shot at Butler, because you've got Butler, you've got Snow, you've got Rule, all defensive-minded guys. Addison Williams, by the way, our defensive backs coach, former defensive coordinator at UCF. That's 4 former defensive and current defensive coordinators on this staff, okay? My biggest thing with them, obviously, Butler's the DC. He's the head guy of the defense. just making sure the staff's on the same page. Okay, that would be a step forward from some of the things you hear about a year ago. But you think about specific people, Holgorsen and Eckler. I think those are going to be two impact difference makers. I'm actually going to go to Eckler first. How many more games in the past half decade do you think we would have won had the special teams just been average? Like realistically. At least one a year? Two a year?
Yeah, probably a handful.
That's like 10 more wins if it's two a year. I mean, is that a crazy? Because that sounds like a lot. Is that a crazy number to throw out there? Two a year, which would be 10 wins? More additional wins just with average? Maybe slightly above average special teams? Is that a crazy number?
You can think of it, especially last year. And see, I mean, Scott Frost's special teams were always left some to be desired. So, I mean, I could say, yeah, I'd probably go between one and two games a year. Yeah.
So 7.5 wins over the past 5 years. We're going to round up to 8 because it's my show and I want to round up.
Fair enough.
Like, I think that's fair too. I think it's 8 to 10 if you want my honest opinion, but let's say 8. That's a huge difference maker. Mike Eckler is one of the best special teams coordinators in the country. All right. I legit believe our return game. I'm excited that Ja'Cory Barney made the statement he made. Number one, it tells me he's going to be one of the guys back there returning punts. And that to me is exciting. So special teams, I expect a noticeable improvement. Do I expect us to immediately be one of the best units in the country? I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just not going to expect it immediately. Let's have a grace period here. I expect us to immediately be at least average, at least. And then we can improve and hopefully grow from there. I had someone tell me during the spring about the punter they were going to bring in. They asked me not to say anything, so I didn't. But their eyes lit up. And the more you hear about the punter that we have, not just his ability to kick left foot, right foot, and all these things, but Archie Wilson, first of all, he's a freshman, so hopefully he's here for like 3-4 years. But his ability to do exactly what Mike Eckler wants a punter to do, his ability to kick with both feet will make a huge difference when it comes to directional punts. And Rule threw it out there. He can run, he can throw. Cincinnati's special teams coordinator just got really mad because now I got to worry about fakes. And I guarantee Rule threw that out there on purpose. So the ability, or at least the threat of a fake. Remember, we converted 2 fake punts last year. But the actual ability to punt, to do what Eckler wants to do, the improvement on special teams, doesn't have to be gargantuan right out the gate. Hopefully it becomes really, really noticeable as the season goes along. That alone, the biggest question mark for me is who's going to be our starting field goal kicker. We got 3 field goal kickers. Who's the one that steps up? But Dana Holgorsen on offense, I think he's going to allow, because Matt Rule is a little bit more of a defensive guy at heart. I think it's going to allow Rule to focus on what he truly thinks is, I don't want to say the most important side of the ball, because I'm not disrespecting special teams or offense, it's all third. But like, I would be more of a defensive guy if I were to coach. Rule's just a little bit more of a defensive guy, and he can have peace of mind, Rule can, knowing that, hey, Dana Holgorsen's over there running the offense, and Dana Holgorsen immediately stepped in and did some things that made sense, made noticeable improvements in this offense that I do not think otherwise would have happened. And he did it not even midseason. It was like a month ago in the season. I think there were 6 weeks left. I can't wait to see what he can do with an entire offseason and more pieces to the puzzle that fit the puzzle he's trying to build out. And so those are two of the reasons that I feel better beyond just the talent, the schedule, et cetera, et cetera. All right, there was a couple other comments that were literally feeding right into the list I had in front of me. What were some of the other ones there, Jake?
Andrew off YouTube says, talent means nothing if you can't develop in scheme. Look at Texas A&M and Texas Tech.
A freaking men. Proceed.
Alan and Lincoln says, maybe Dylan needs to throw more than one fourth quarter touchdown pass for the season. So maybe he's still not sipping the Kool-Aid on that.
That's fine. I get if people want to sip. I want to sip the Kool-Aid. I'm just going to tell you what I want to do. Like, I want presents on Christmas, and I want certain things. Is it what actually happens? I don't know. I want to sip the Kool-Aid. Like, inside of me, I want Nebraska to win. I will never be completely unbiased. Like, my lifelong dream was to play at Nebraska. I got to play at Nebraska, and it still blows my mind. I was not going to be an option quarterback at the time. So my lifelong dream was to play defense, ergo be a black shirt. I got to be a black shirt. Going into my senior year, I was projected to be a first-round pick. I came back because my dream was to play at Nebraska. I remember calling my dad. It was a five-minute conversation because I was projected like 21st overall or something if I left after my junior year. My dad's like, well, if you come back, you risk major injury. He literally was like, think Willis McGahee, think some of these other guys. It can happen. The Ole Miss quarterback a couple years ago in the bowl game. And then he goes, well, what do you want to do? Because he knew my dream. I go, well, I want to come back and play. I go, this is what I've dreamt about my whole life, and I can't believe I get to do it. And this would, in theory, be my best season because I'm a senior now. He goes, so do we need to keep talking? I was like, no, it's done. It's a five-minute convo. I'm coming back. By the way, you know how many times Callahan talked to me about whether I should leave early or not, or any of the coaches? You want to know how many times?
How many?
Zero. Big fat goose egg. Not once. I hadn't really thought about that over the years. Should I be offended by that now? Like 20-some years later, maybe I should be offended by that.
That is interesting. You usually think they have to spend a lot of time re-recruiting, especially a first-round draft pick potential.
So my point is, you know, live in St. Louis, live in D.C., live in Florida to rehab my knee, live in Colorado for a while. Chose to make this my living, talking Nebraska sports, essentially. And then chose to come back to Lincoln. The only regret we have about coming back to Lincoln, and I've said this to anybody who's asked me, they're like, well, is there anything you miss or anything you regret? Yeah, my regret is we didn't do it sooner. That's my regret. So it's inside of me to want to root for Nebraska. It's inside of me to want to drink the Kool-Aid. It's much more fun.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I know rules mentioned, hey, there's been a lot of money made off of, what was it, negativity or despair. There's a lot more money made when Nebraska wins football games. A lot more money. I know people who've had to shut down shops due to losses over the years. Okay, I'll just say, Scott Strunk, Husker Hound, shout out. Guy had two shops in Omaha. He's like, Adam, I had to shut down one. This was like when Frost's second season or something. Scott's a good dude, so I don't mind shouting him out. Plus, Husker Hound's great. So I will readily admit, I am as unbiased as I can. That is built into when I talk about the team. It is built into how I view things. But at the end of the day, I've said when I started doing the show, ultimately my fallback was I always have to be honest and give my honest take, which is sometimes easier than others. So when people talk about the Kool-Aid, drinking it or not drinking it, just know I want to drink it. I do. Just also know I try to look through the lens of, we can all only look through the lens of with which we see things. I try to look through the lens of honesty and reality. I think it's fair to drink the Kool-Aid at least to a degree. Let's be honest. Matt Rhule is almost the beneficiary of the bar being so low. Like I said, if Nebraska wins 8 games, I'd be happy with that. I wouldn't be thrilled. I'm not jumping for joy, but I'm happy with it. We're going the right direction. We have fired 9-win coaches multiple times. So Matt Rhule is almost the beneficiary of the bar being so low. So it depends on your definition of Kool-Aid. My definition is what would make me happy at the end of the year. What would make me happy is 8 wins. 9 wins would make me very happy. Anything beyond that, I'd be jumping for joy right now. We have fired coaches for similar things in the past. So for me, I guess it depends on your definition of Kool-Aid. You got any thoughts there, Jake?
No, just to kind of, you know, sometimes I can try to maybe balance out the show. I'm obviously a huge Husker fan. Went to the.
Can I hop in? Yeah, can I hop in? Because he had an idea during the break. Can I announce the idea? Do I have to hold on to it? All right. So Jake is known for having his daggers. He wants, what is it, Minnesota and Iowa or Texas to play for the national
Minnesota
title?
Minnesota and Iowa, not Texas.
I forgot it was two Big Ten teams. That didn't even make sense, by the way. Actually, it does. We watched Georgia and Bama. Never mind. Yeah, all right. But he goes, so if you're a wrestling fan, you've heard of Bad News Barrett, a gimmick that was really over with the fans, got buried. But this isn't a gimmick because Jake does balance out things. And he has the idea for bad, what'd you call it? Bad News, I wrote it down, Bad News Bach.
That's right.
Are you going to be Bad News Bach right now?
No, not right now. No, I'm just saying. Okay. I can
maybe in the future.
There's enough ammunition within Husker statistics over the last 10 years that I can come up with some bad news from time to time if we need to balance it out. Which, like, I mean, to your credit, I mean, I don't think you go way overboard and you know, see everything through rose-colored glasses like you're saying. So some our host used to say here, "Fart the fight" song. I don't think it's that bad. So, but we did get a text here. That I thought was kind of funny. 0778 says, Adam, while you were gone, Jake said he wished Nebraska had a real quarterback like Iowa's Mark Gronowski. He said real quarterbacks can throw 5-yard checkdowns and have handsome jawlines. Your thoughts?
So, So a couple of things, because someone said earlier more than one touchdown in the fourth quarter as well. Okay, and then what you just read there as well. It's a couple of things for me. When it comes to Dylan, by the way, I thought you were going to dive more into, because you started to go into your background, you're a Husker fan a little bit. I don't want to skip over that. Let's come back to that after I kind of address this. I don't want to skip over that. Because I went into my whole diatribe for those who may or may not know. I do because of the hype and excitement around Dylan as a highly touted five-star, top 10, top five recruit in the entire country, top one or two quarterback in the entire country. I get it. I don't quite get, I don't want to say over-criticism. I don't want to say it's unfair. Harsh criticism of a guy who was a teenager and a true freshman last year. Now, when you know he's one of the top 20 to 25 paid college football players in the country, when you know he gets a lot of notoriety throughout the state, you got the expectations. I understand some people are going to see things that way. To me, we got last year from a true freshman quarterback exactly what I said we would. He's going to look really good. He's going to have his struggles. He's going to be up and down. It's going to be a wildly unpredictable. The year that's going to tell us more is year two. There is this thing out there known as a sophomore slump. Does he have a sophomore slump? I don't think so. I think we see a year two improvement and jump. I think the offensive line being better will help. I think receivers hopefully blocking and getting open and winning one-on-one battles will help. I think Dana Holgorsen is something that gives me just a good amount of confidence in the offense. Now, there's no guarantee that it's going to happen. I've never quite understood people not giving him a grace period to learn, at least a little bit more than some folks have pointed out to me. I understand the hype, the expectations. College football players should be analyzed more than they ever have been because they're making more money than a lot of people make, you know, over a decade or whatever. So I think the higher level of analyzation, the higher level of expectations, I do think that's fair. But I've always looked to year two as I want to see a noticeable improvement. Year three, if we want to talk about national accolades or whatever, let's see how year two goes. I don't think that's unfair based on the hype expectations and everything else. As far as Dylan, one of the things that will define him is he clutch in the fourth quarter? Nebraska isn't necessarily built to just steamroll teams. Like maybe a Cincinnati, possibly, maybe not, but like Akron, Houston Christian, yes. But like Big Ten teams, we're going to be in a lot of close games. We're going to be in a lot of one-score games. And what's going to define Dylan is how he plays in the fourth quarter. If he gets the ball with 2 minutes to go and we're down by four and we need a touchdown, how does he play? That's going to define him. And to me, that is very fair. He's the most experienced true freshman quarterback that's now going to be a sophomore in the entire country. And I feel like that's incredibly fair. And so the expectations and analyzation could be cranked up to another level, and I'm totally cool with that. But I expect, don't shudder when I say this, I expect a lot of close games this year. All right. And what's going to define Dylan is how he plays in the fourth quarter. Jake.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, because you can throw, you know, the stat, you know, one touchdown pass or whatever in the fourth quarter. We all know his the last several games of the season, whatever it was, the last half of the season, not nearly as good statistically as the first half of the season. But again, there's other statistics you can throw out there. I think he's the third as far as Big Ten returning passing leaders, as far as true freshmen or freshmen passing yards in the Big Ten. I think he's in the top four of all time. I think he was actually number two. I think it was Hackenberg was number mm-hmm. one, and he was right there.
Yep.
There's different ways to dissect it, but this is the year. I mean, it was good to kind of get the first year, and those expectations are what they were. I agree with you. I don't love any talk that kind of elevates him to Heisman talk. If he was able to finish out the year the way he started last year, I think you'd see a lot of that this year. So I wouldn't have minded it, obviously. That maybe made a better season. But this is the year where we kind of figure out if he can take that jump and be that guy that we expect him to be in the future. If he has a similar year this year than he did last year, all that stuff goes away. No, he's no longer going to be on these 2027 mock draft boards and all that. So this is the year we find out.
Yeah, when it comes to all-time Big Ten true freshman passing seasons, I think Hackenberg of Penn State was number one. Dylan was number two. As far as passing leaders in the Big Ten last year, he was top five. As far as all-time true freshman passing seasons in Nebraska history, it's him and Adrian Martinez. So if we want to cherry pick stats, that's fine. That's why I try to look at everything. I always do. I try to look at the full picture, like I've said before, not just the part of the picture that we want to see. So I think those are all things that are fair to point out. Let's go back, because you started to talk about, hey, I grew up a Husker fan, and then we kind of went off. I kind of jumped to the bad news, Bach. Let's get to the progression from Husker fan to the point you were going to make.
Well, I was just saying, you know, I grew up and born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska. I never left, and why would I? I've worked at the ticket here for, you know, since 2013, and so I spend my afternoons here with Adam Carricker and Terrell Farley and the like, Jay Foreman around, all these guys. So my point is that I think I'm somewhat proven, you know, again, went to the university, somewhat proven as a Husker, but, you know, going through journalism school and all that in the field that we want to get into, there is, you want to, you know, kind of get to a bias, so or to try to get rid of your bias, right, when you're kind of looking at the team and breaking things down. And so I was just going to say that, you know, at times I can maybe seem like, and I could play the bad guy, because I do. I there are certain programs that, you know, Iowa specifically, that Husker fans have learned to dislike, that when I started covering the Big Ten, you know, when I got out of college, it was kind of just to kind of learn it and to jump into it. Obviously, it was a new conference. And so I've kind of embraced that. Do have a distaste for Iowa somewhat, but I just always loved their, I kind of love the way that their program goes about it, right? Those, they don't have the heavy five national championship expectation of 11, 12 win seasons. And sometimes we kind of you know, make fun of them for that. But I think that they, because of that, have to kind of, nothing's given. They have to earn what is there. And throughout that, they've developed, you know, I go back to it. They've won Butkus Award winners. They've had Chip Thorpe Award winners. They've had running backs of the year. They've had defensive linemen. So they just had development at all these different places. And so that's why I was just trying to stick up for myself. So sometimes I get kind of cornered into the Iowa fan thing, which, again, I can play the bad guy. I don't hate Iowa as much as most Nebraska fans do, kind of respect their program. But I could still be the bad news guy. So if I'm bad news Bach, just let me know. It's coming from a playful place, I suppose.
No, he's dead serious. He means every single word. He wants Iowa to win it all. All right. Let's see. When we come back, we will start to break down a little bit more in depth, start to give a little bit more official answer. Is Nebraska a legit college football playoff contender? Are they this year's Indiana? Why or why not? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.